Cato, should large multinational companies have the right to tell academics what scholarship and research they can and cannot share?
Allowing information to be more tightly held by a small few, allowing a small few to profit out of holding all of the knowledge of the world is really, really problematic.
You're listening to a Tertiary Update podcast. I'm Stephen Day, TEU's Communications Officer, and this week we're looking at how a little-known international agreement could affect tertiary education. Governments in New Zealand and around the Pacific are currently negotiating an international agreement that could have a huge effect on tertiary education. The Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, or TPPA, has been under negotiation now in various forms since 2005, and multinational companies are desperate to see governments conclude and sign it this year. The TPPA involves 11 Pacific Rim countries, including New Zealand and Australia, as well as economic powers the United States and Japan. Critics of the agreement, including unions like TEU, have consistently highlighted problems with it, including that it is being negotiated in secret. From what little we do know of the TPPA's secret negotiations, though, we suspect they could have significant impact on tertiary education. Like many academics, TEU President Sandra Gray has been a vocal opponent of the TPPA. It was her you heard before, talking about the likelihood of tougher copyright restrictions.
Already it's a very fraught area, who owns what knowledge and how. Most people who work in public institutions believe that open access to knowledge and open access to information is really, really crucial and are quite critical of the major big companies who are already locking down copyright and, you know, making money out of the sale of intellectual property, you know, of academics' intellectual property.
WikiLeaks documents on the TPPA suggest that the agreement, if passed, could extend the length, breadth and scope of copyright laws, allowing private companies to lock off knowledge and restrict it from being shared or used. For academics who commonly draw on the research and scholarship of others for their work, this could have significant implications. Tertiary education libraries currently have the right to share information with staff and students under New Zealand's existing Copyright Act and not be penalised for circumventing regional technology protection mechanisms on legally purchased digital products. The TPPA, though, could make this illegal, giving multinational companies the right to copyright information we believe should be in the public domain, and then prevent people sharing it. Another important aspect of the TPPA, like other international agreements, is the TPPA could remove government's democratic right to distinguish between public and private education institutions by providing more favourable treatment to the former. The TPPA could treat this as a restraint of trade and thus give those private companies the right to sue for the loss of anticipated income.
Major companies who now know there's a really lucrative market out there for education, that there's easy profits to make for them in, you know, running very poor facilities and not having permanent staff and all of those things, coming in and saying, we want to operate in New Zealand. And the government's saying, well, we have these regulatory provisions that protect quality of education. And those companies saying, well, it's a big enough market for us to take you to court and say, you have to get rid of those regulatory provisions that protect your existing providers. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, if there's a profit to be made, those multinational corporations will take on our government as they're taking on the Australian government.
International investment agreements like the TPPA are notorious for including clauses that require governments to liberalise their trade policies continually, only permitting governments to adopt rules and regulations that favour light-handed and pro-market policies. This ratcheting effect that locks in each new regulatory measure is anti-democratic.
Basically, levels out the playing field and says there's nothing special about public provision, whereas those of us inside know there's something very special about public provision that's not focused on the mighty dollar.
Not only does it limit the scope of a current government to govern, it places increasing restrictions and pressure on all future governments, particularly those that favour local businesses and public services ahead of multinational business. In effect, it limits the democratic choices of future governments.
And I think, you know, we've got to seriously question governments that are prepared to let multinationals run the world. Multinationals aren't accountable to us. They don't owe us anything. They certainly don't owe us accessible and equitable education training. So, you know, why would we leave it to them? Why would our governments behind closed doors do a deal that gives more power to already very powerful institutions?
There is a serious risk that the TPPA will limit the freedoms of publicly owned tertiary education institutions to operate in the best interest of their students and of the public. TEU is also concerned that it is essential to a healthy democracy that future governments should have the freedom to treat public tertiary education institutions differently from locally owned tertiary education institutions, and both of those differently from large multinational providers if they wish to. Any international agreement should not bind future governments or restrict them from taking a position that favours public education. TEU has long advocated that where the TPPA affects tertiary education, it should be negotiated by tertiary education experts and agreed democratically by Parliament, rather than negotiated secretly by trade experts and the Trade Minister and signed off only by Cabinet.
We can also point to many times in the past when New Zealand signed free trade agreements and New Zealand workers and New Zealand families have really lost out. So the balance has never been good. It's not good for the smallest, most isolated economy in the world.
Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Sandra Gray and Stephen Day. Music was Nikoko by Sachetsky.